try and move this along. Anise, if you would come up. You have number 6 and number 9. And on our agenda here, it shows that we have you down there for a total of 45 minutes on those two. If you could get it in that 30-minute window. We're not trying to rush you.
Yes,
we want to get...
Yes, we are.
Okay, we are.
Not very long.
Well, I hear your stomach growling.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the Commission. Today I'm going to be presenting a couple of recommendations. As you know, this is an interim year. We just came before you last year with a three-year season setting, so the rules that are coming before you today are just merely mostly adjustments and some things that we feel that need to be worked on. An overview of this presentation and these rules that I'm presenting is basically one has to do with game birds and the release of those birds. In the rule, it says that birds have to be marked. This clarifies that only one method of marking needs to be used, and also clarifies some of the ways that birds can be marked for release. And we also have some clarifications to the trapping rule. Basically, currently the rule states that animals have to be removed from the trap within 24 hours. We're clarifying that to say that you actually have to check the trap every 24 hours, not just remove the animal within 24 hours. That was the intent of the rule always, but there was some clarifications there. So proposed changes basically on Rule 220, 416, 110, use of game birds in training and marking requirements. Basically, we're adding to this rule nasal scarring as an option of marking. It's used in the industry currently where they basically put an anti-pecking device in these birds when they're raising them, which causes nasal scarring. And since that's already being done, we can use that as a marking method instead of having to mark them further, either with a band or toe clipping. So those other methods are still can be used, but if folks choose to use this one as one, that also adds that. We had some public comment on this one. Both were in support. We only had two comments. The next rule is 220-430-10. Basically, this one is a game farm license provisions. It just clarifies the rule that you have to have a current and valid game farm license to possess, propagate, and all of those things. The rule currently doesn't make that clear. There's some language that if you had a permit in the past, it may, you know, qualify. So we're just clarifying that language to make it clear. And we also added language that the failure to comply, you know, could lead to either revocation or the loss of that permit. So as I mentioned, the proposed changes, basically the license has to be current, which wasn't very clear in the rule, and then it provides the departments with rules that ensure compliance with the rule. It wasn't a very clear what we could do if somebody wasn't in compliance. We received 5 comments on this rule, 4 were in support and 1 was opposed. And then we did have a recommended adjustment that actually came out of the public comment. In this rule, we don't specify that deleterious wildlife are not to be propagated in those facilities. So this adds that to that rule that we have a deleterious wildlife WAC that identifies those species that we don't want on the landscape. And this puts those in this rule as well, that these folks cannot propagate these species in their facilities. So that one was not in the initial rule that we submitted, but it is a recommended adjustment. Proposed changes to WAC 224-50-10. Basically, I already kind of went through this, so I won't belabor it. Game birds released for dog training. So currently it says that they have to be purchased. And oftentimes, the person using those dogs is either getting it from somebody who purchased them or using them during a field trial or something like that. So it's not their birds that they put. So this clarifies that they don't have to be purchased. They can be acquired. So folks that are using them in field trials and other things are not, breaking the law, basically. And then we also added some language to minimize risk of disease transmission, basically stating that they have to meet the health standards that we put in the WAC. All folks that commented on this were in support. Four were received. So this proposed changes to the trapping rule, 220.417.30. Basically, I mentioned it briefly in the beginning. Right now, it's not clear whether they have to check the trap every 24 hours or remove an animal from the trap that's been there for 24 hours. The rule was intended that they check the trap every 24 hours, so we clarified the language to that effect. We did have some public comment on this one. Two were in support, four opposed. Those that opposed thought that this change was actually making it stricter, but actually it's just clarifying what was the intent of the law. The expected outcomes of these changes basically increase compliance with the bird marking requirement, support game farm license holders, and increase compliance with game license provisions, and then decrease the risk of avian disease transmission, and also improve humane treatment and welfare of trapped fur bearers. And with that, I can take any questions.
Any questions? excuse me, Commissioner Thorburn. Oh, okay.
Yes, good.
Are hunters expected to report marked birds when they...
No, there is no expectation for because most of the birds that are marked are birds that either have been purchased or so they're not part of the wild population.
Commissioner McKenzie.
Mr. Chairman, on slide 7 and 8, you indicated, I thought I may have heard you say, these were not put out by the staff for that comment period for mid-January to early February, but have subsequently been added in by the staff for the commission to consider in this March and April process.
This one only, this
just
change.
That one?
Yeah, the deleterious wildlife portion.
Okay. So the one on slide 8 at the top is that was put out for...
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
Okay, on this particular item, before we go on to the next one, Anise, we have one comment. This is come forward, Howard Pertle, please. Go ahead, sir.
What we would like to say, I'm Howard Pertle. I'm the Eastern Director of the Washington Falconers Association. We would like to see if we could work out some way to get our duck season into February after the gun hunters are done, because realistically you can't fly, especially over in the Skagit area. It's really overwhelmed with duck hunters. We would like to try and figure out some way to, take some of the days from earlier and move them toward the end. That way we would have 2 weeks in February-ish.
Yes, so just to clarify, you're specifically talking about waterfowl hunting.
Waterfowl.
Correct? Okay. I think there will be a presentation on waterfowl a little bit later, but if we can capture that comment, and maybe we'll work and see how we can incorporate it in the future.
Okay. That's all I have on
that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.